Welcome to the Jess Cagle Podcast with Julia Cunningham. Each week, Jess and Julia sit down with Hollywood's biggest names to discuss their current projects and take a trip down memory lane as they dive deep into their classic catalogs. SiriusXM presents the Jess Cagle Podcast with Julia Cunningham. Now, here are your hosts, Jess and Julia.
From like action to Elton John, Taron Egerton.
This is great. It's been 3 years since I've done any press, but I mean, I'm already feeling great about it. This is lovely.
That's fantastic. Okay, you're doing press because the show Blackbird, which starts on Apple TV Plus July 8th. We've both seen it, got in an early look at it.
Oh, you
really
have?
Good. Yes. It's fantastic.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's cool. You didn't tell me that before we went live on there. That's
great. Oh, saved
sneaking
it.
So
have you done an episode or two episodes?
I have done two episodes.
I did an episode last night.
Great. Oh, thank you so much for watching.
Oh, yeah.
The first couple of episodes. Okay, so can you, I was hooked just knowing about the show because it's based on a true story.
It is.
This guy, Jimmy Keane, right?
Who I play, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really intriguing premise. It is based on a true story. It happened, I believe, 1996. A guy named James Keane received a 10-year prison sentence for dealing drugs. And
He was a serious drug dealer.
He was, right?
He was a successful drug dealer.
He had a sort of mini empire out of Chicago. And what happened was a few months into his sentence, the FBI approached him and offered him a deal. And the deal was that this man named Larry Hall, who had confessed to the murder of a young woman, was going to get out of prison kind of on a technicality, but they had reason to believe that he had killed and disposed of the bodies of a number of other women,
possibly up to 45.
So they said to Jimmy Keane, if you transfer and if you can get not only a confession, but also the location of these bodies, or I believe one body, then we will clear your sentence and you'll be a free man. So that is kind of the basic setup of the show. And the story is essentially about him essentially trying to achieve redemption through this seemingly impossible, very kind of dangerous task to find out if this guy really did it. And if he did, Where are the bodies?
And did you have any interaction? And how much do you know about Jimmy Keane and the real story? I mean, it's based on his memoir.
It is based on a memoir called In with the Devil, which I read before we started filming. And James Keane is actually a producer on the show. And I did meet him. In fact, he does actually play a small cameo at some point in the show. And he's great. He's a lovely, very, very charming guy. And I think that's part of why he was entrusted with this task, is he's got this real kind of way with words. He's very kind of charming and personable. It was lovely. It was lovely to meet him. He has this incredible, incredible story.
So we also, another thing that's so interesting, and your relationship with him is interesting in the show, is the late great Ray Liotta plays your father.
Yeah, in my opinion, when I read the script, that element of the story was kind of what appealed to me most about it, because that really is the beating heart of the show. Lots of what motivates Jimmy into taking this opportunity is to be reunited with his father, who he has this incredibly close, very, very, very loving relationship with. But certainly in our story, I wouldn't want to speak about the real Jimmy Keane's relationship with his father, but certainly in our story, there's a kind of an imperfect quality to the way they interact. You know, there's that famous thing that we're all messed up by our parents, and that certainly applies a little bit in this case. But it's a beautifully, beautifully written relationship. Dennis Lehane, who created and showran Blackbird, I think just did an incredible job of writing particularly these two parts. And, you know, I know Ray read the script and agreed to play the role in under 24 hours. And he and I had a really, really amazing time together. It was one of the more profound experiences of my acting career, we just connected immediately. It was an odd thing. And it was all dictated by him. It was dictated by the way that he handled himself and the way that he conducted himself as an actor on set. I did an Instagram post about it when he died, but the first day I met him, he was on set and he didn't talk to me when we first arrived on set. And it's always strange meeting heroes and acting legends, but it was a really unusual thing because that makes it sound like he was being standoffish or dismissive, but it was so clearly not that. He was just there kind of harnessing energy for the scene, I think. And even though he didn't speak to me, when he spotted me, he did walk up to me and he just embraced me. And I said sort of, you know, quietly to him, you know, I'm really glad we're doing this together. And he said, me too. And those are the only words we shared other than the scenes we did that day. And I felt like I grew as an actor through doing those scenes with Ray. He was a gentleman. He was brilliant. And in my opinion, I think it's one of the best performances of his career.
Yeah, he's extraordinary.
Yeah, he is. He's amazing.
Yeah. Well, the dynamic between Jimmy and, I guess, Big Jim or James as Ray's character is, you know, when the first time we see Jimmy, his friends in like this drug mansion are like watching old Glory videos of Jimmy running as the star football player. Yeah. You know, and you walk off with like a bag of coke and money to, you know, go on a deal. And within the pilot, I don't think this is much of a spoiler, but we learn that, you know, you have a very opposite relationship to what your father's role was as a police officer.
Yeah.
And yet that there is this vibe, I think Dennis Lehane said in his tribute, that like Ray played him in a way that like he would have run into a burning building to save Jimmy. Like it didn't matter. That was his son.
Yeah.
And that's just such like an interesting relationship to unfold and watch and tackle with someone like Ray.
Yeah. I mean, they're these two guys who have been, you know, both my character, Jimmy, and Big Jim, two guys who have been kind of pillars of the community. Jimmy was a high school football star and his father was a decorated cop, but kind of behind closed doors were both being
maybe not, a little shady.
Exactly.
And that's what Ray Liotta plays so
and that's
well.
What Ray is
and
so
you
great.
Understand yeah. Jimmy
yeah
then
exactly
and why he took his path.
But you know that exactly as you said about Dennis, our showrunner, in his tribute, you know, Ray, it's written that the character would run into a burning building for his son, but Ray just brought that energy in abundance. And actually, you know, a few weeks ago when I first saw the show, I texted Ray and we were excited to see one another again, you know. And I said your performance in the show is beautiful and I'm really proud of the work we did. And he texted me just saying all he said was, you made it very easy to love my son. And it, I don't know, I mean, I feel a little bit emotional actually, but it was just a profound thing working with Ray in the playing these two roles and a real highlight of the whole experience.
I also loved, I had never seen Paul Walter Hauser, who I think probably most people here know as, you know, one of Cruella's henchmen.
Yes.
Right.
In Cruella.
Or for my Tanya, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And he's so funny. And in this, I mean, just he's the serial killer.
Yeah.
Those scenes, and the really intense scenes between the two of you come a little bit later in the series.
That's right.
Because
you
spend the first couple of episodes are you getting into the, you know.
That's right.
Super secure prison that he's kept in.
Yeah. Paul is an extraordinary performer and is someone that I'd been aware of and really, really admired. And I actually think, like, you know, as is the case with so many great comic actors, that more often than not, given the opportunity, those skills are transferable because, you know, the best comic actors, in my opinion, are great at responding in the moment.
Well, and comedians are generally deep down very scary.
Very dark.
There's often a darkness to comedians, exactly. And Paul is someone that myself and the you know Dennis Lehane and the producers of the show had been talking about for a while. And I was so, so pleased when the decision was finally made to give him the role, because I do feel that Paul is an actor who you know, certainly in the industry, people are aware of him. And from, as you say, the wider audiences from things like Cruella. But I think he's an actor with a lot more to show and a lot more to give. And I do really believe that this... this show is gonna do quite a lot to surprise people, because he's pretty extraordinary in it, in my opinion.
Well, even I felt like, from having just seen you in The Kingsman and, you know, Rocketman, and knowing you as Elton and all these other things, like, your face is so stoic in this. It's a lot. It's definitely a different sort of attitude, I think, we've seen from.
Thank you. Absolutely. I mean, I've not really played, just in the simple sort of crude sense, I've never really played an American before, so that was a great opportunity, even that, just in that superficial way.
Good accent, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Doesn't crack.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. But I knew after Rocketman was such a tremendous opportunity for me in my career, and it was such a specific, amazing role. But I felt instinctively that what I wanted to do next, and it is my next thing after Rocketman, is something that feels more, just a different quality of energy. And this guy's much, much more grounded and kind of hyper-masculine and it's got a real sort of weight and darkness to him. And that was great to be able to go and to play something so different. But thank you.
You are listening to The Jess Cagle Show with Julia Cunningham. Starting off the show, don't want to brag, with Taron Egerton today here in the studio. It's so nice to be in the studio.
This is lovely.
By the way, I mean, yeah. I'm sure that the last time, it's been a while since you did press. Right?
It has, yeah. So I did, my last project, as I said, was Rocketman, and then the world kind of, you know, shut down for a while. But yeah, it's just lovely to be in this town and feel like, you know, because I've obviously got friends here and people I work with, and I know LA especially has been pretty locked down for a long time with people being super cautious, but it feels like it's beginning to relax a little bit, and it's exciting to be here when it's not all so oppressive, you know.
While you're in Los Angeles, are you, I don't even know if he's here, but while you're in Los Angeles, he does live here, are you going to see Elton John? Are you still, like, buddies?
I saw him last week. We had lunch last week. He's here. I know. Sorry, I'll just have to pick that name up off the floor. He's doing shows in the UK at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so he's coming to North America very soon, because in July he's doing some shows over here. But I saw him in London last week. We had lunch together. It was very
nice. Do you feel like you have to keep that up? Because I feel like he's the type that would probably, like, pull you onto stage and be like, look, my other Elton is here. Taron, get up here. Sit at the piano.
Yeah, I've done that.
Under pressure.
Yeah, I've done that a few times with him. And every time I do it, I think I'm going to have a heart attack. So I have been avoiding his shows, but I think I might come and see one of the North American shows.
He will pull you
up. Time to prep.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting flashbacks.
Okay, so as a young guy, you have actually played a number of actual alive people in your career. I don't know if they're all alive. Edward Britten in Testament of Youth, Michael Edwards, Eddie the Eagle, Elton John,
yes,
Rocket Man,
yeah.
You know, now Jimmy Keane,
yeah,
in Blackbird. Which one was the most intimidating to take on?
I mean, I think, probably Elton, because I knew it was going to very easily find a big audience, and people have such an idea of who he is and a weight of expectation around anybody who dares to play a beloved figure. There's always a sense of, okay, show us what you got. And that was intimidating. But I think you always feel a weight of responsibility. It is scary knowing whoever you're playing is going to watch the show or the movie as well. I recently did some reshoots for a movie which is also going to be on Apple later in the year, about the origins of the video game Tetris, which is an incredible story.
Yeah.
I play this guy named Hank Rogers, who was the first person to license the game outside of Russia. And we were shooting a scene the other day, and it was in a tower in Tokyo against a green screen, and, you know, it's supposed to be 25 feet up, and we're in the middle of doing it, and all of a sudden the real Hank Rogers walks in front of the window, and I panicked. I ran off set. I thought, I can't do this now while the guy's there. And that is
literally ran off set.
I actually did. I said, I'm gonna take 5 minutes. But yeah, it is intimidating, but it's fun as well. There's a real challenge to it because, you know, you need to get under the skin of someone who has really lived or is really living.
Jess and I are Kingsman people. Mm. Like, we are.
Oh,
those are.
By
we
far,
love. We
by
live.
Far.
Yeah.
What's happening with number four?
So, there is a script.
And oh.
There is a script. And we are. I don't know. I am, but
we're like, just tell. No one's listening, Taryn. You just tell us. Safe space.
I am a humble pawn in the equation, but my understanding is that we are aiming to be shooting the third installment in your saga.
Yes.
I believe next year, but you know, don't listen to what I say because I don't really know. I they're grown up decisions.
Taryn, I think the only time we ever met, I was doing I was interviewing the entire cast.
Yeah, because you've done town halls.
Yeah, we were doing a town hall. It was like an hour long, and Samuel Jackson was there, and Colin Firth, and Matthew Vaughn, and everybody. You were there, and I remember it was right before the first.
I think I remember
came
that.
Out.
Were we sat up against a gray screen or something like that?
Probably in the New York office.
In New York.
In the New York.
York.
It was in the
yeah,
New
that's
York.
That's right. I remember yeah. that.
But I was sitting, I think you were on the other end, and I was sitting right next to Colin Firth, and we won't have to get into it, but there was a very dirty joke at the end of the first movie, mm-hmm. In the first Kingsman. And I thought, oh, I'm going to ask about this because I think it's going to make some news. It's going to be controversial. And so I said, Matthew, did you get a lot of pushback from the studio about that joke at the end of the movie? And Colin Firth, who was sitting right next to me, you can't see it on the radio, but he looked at me like, gave me the biggest yeah. eye roll. Like, I wish you wouldn't even bring this
please
up.
Do please do not.
That
please.
Was never.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was a very. That was Matthew Vaughn doing his very provocative thing. And I don't think Colin and I were ever particularly keen on the including of that joke. But hey, you know, that's what happens when you work with Matthew.
And what else? What else is? What else is next besides Tetris?
Actually, nothing that I feel comfortable sort of talking about right now. But I think I'll be filming before the end of the year, all being well. And yeah, as I said, Tetris coming out probably towards the end of the year. But right now, I'm just very focused on making sure people watch Blackbird because I'm just really, really proud of it. It was a hard shoot, 6 months in New Orleans with the heat and COVID and hurricane, and you know, it was a lot, but the show turned out great, so it was all worth it.
And do you have any plans to do theater again? I know that you did Cock on stage, yeah. And then because of COVID, you ended up.
Yeah, I would like to do more theater. It's something that I really, really love, and I haven't done a lot of in recent years. But it's just about finding the right thing and finding the time. But certainly at some point soon, yeah.
Nothing you can't do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Action movies to Elton John, and now Blackbird, which, by the way, so it starts again, Apple TV Plus. The first two episodes are up on July 8th, and then it's going to be weekly. And just a true story that I'd never heard of before.
Yeah.
About this guy, Jimmy Keane, who was arrested for being a drug dealer and then ended up like helping them catch a serial killer.
That's wild.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Taryn Edgerton. It's always good to see you. Blackbird, new thriller series based on an incredible true story, comes out July 8th on Apple TV Plus. Thanks for being here, Taryn.
This has been the Jess Cagle Podcast with Julia Cunningham, a SiriusXM production. Hear new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.